Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, February 15th. In news from the state capitol, two Western Slope senators, Republican Ray Scott of Grand Junction and Democrat Carrie Donovan of Vail, are co-sponsoring an important bill that just cleared committee in the Senate. Senate Bill 5 directs Colorado's Department of Local Affairs to keep the state's 49 rural counties foremost in mind as they determine where to direct economic assistance efforts. It is designed to help rural communities that have suffered rapid job losses due to economic hardship, like coal mines closing. Senator Donovan has been working on the bill since she arrived at the State House. She took time out of her busy schedule yesterday to talk to KVNF News about it.
Senate Bill 5 turns the paradigm around. Right now, we expect small communities, after they've had a job loss event, to navigate the bureaucracy of pulling together all the resources that the state has to offer. Senate Bill 5 reverses that paradigm and says that the state needs to go to these communities. So much like you and I would go to a neighbor who may have experienced a death in the family or a sickness in the family and said, hey, I can walk your dog or I can drive your kids to school. We never wait for that, you know, neighbor to come to us for us to help. This bill asks the state to be that same type of good neighbor, saying that when you see a community that's struggling, we need to bring all the great resources that the state has across different departments to the doorstep of that community and help them recover.
The bipartisan bill has already gone through a lot of politicking to get through the Senate. Donovan said she is happy with Senate Bill 5 in its current version, and she anticipates that it will pass the House and go to the governor for his signature and passage.
I am incredibly proud that Senate Bill 5 finally passed through the Senate and onto the House, where I expect it'll have, the same level of support it had to get out of the Senate, which was bipartisan and a good majority. This is a bill I've worked on for about 4 years, and I'm very pleased with the version that got passed. It'll have a big impact on the communities that I not only represent, but across rural Colorado. It maintains the focus that the state will have to continue to focus on rural Colorado and provide support for small communities that experience job loss.
And we'll have more of our interview with State Senator Carrie Donovan in tomorrow's KVNF regional newscast. Republicans have named who is going to run against her in Senate District 5 this fall. She talked about that, as well as about the sexual harassment scandal that continues to hang over the State House. A Colorado senator from Hot Sulphur Springs stepped down from one of his committee chairmanships because of complaints of sexual harassment, but he will not resign from office, as some have called for. As Benta Berkland reports, the accuser criticizes how Senate leaders have responded.
Republican Senator Randy Baumgardner says he will no longer serve as chairman of the Transportation Committee in the wake of two formal sexual harassment complaints against him. He says he volunteered to take that step to try to put the controversies behind him. An investigator found it credible that in 2016 he grabbed and slapped a legislative aide's buttocks.
The allegations made against me in this complaint are not true. Despite the findings of the investigation, I believe it to be flawed, inaccurate, incomplete, and biased.
Senate leaders agree the investigation is flawed. The woman who filed the complaint blasted the Senate president for now criticizing the process he told people to follow. Baumgardner has agreed to take sensitivity training. Meanwhile, 16 Democrats have signed onto a resolution to try to oust him from the chamber. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Hate is on the rise in western states like Colorado and around the U.S. in general. Eric Galatis has more.
Hate is a national phenomenon, but the way hate is directed varies depending on where you live, according to new research from the University of Utah. A team of geographers mapped the patterns of active hate groups in more than 360 U.S. counties in 2014 and found that nationwide, less education, population change, ethnic diversity, poverty, and conservative politics correlated with more hate groups. But Richard Medina, the report's senior author, says the ways people hate are based on cultures, histories, and other factors specific to different regions.
if you look at the South, they have different racial issues, and areas along the border of the U.S. may focus on anti-immigrant issues. So you can start to see this whole map of hate that is really regionally specific.
Medina and his team focused on organized groups that target entire classes of people based on factors beyond their control, including ethnicity, gender, disability, and sexual orientation. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, 2016 saw a near high in the number of hate groups in the U.S. Medina says while many people are facing uncertainty and change, those involved in hate groups believe their actions will help secure the future for the people they see as members of their tribe. Medina notes that fear can turn to hate and, in the worst case, violence.
You know, the neo-Nazi, the national anti-immigrant hate, really, I think in a lot of ways boils down to this fear of losing identity from what those people consider to be other people.
Emily Nicolosi, a doctoral candidate who contributed to the study, says places that have a history of large-scale immigration, such as the East and West Coasts, are more accepting of people with different backgrounds. She adds, even in non-coastal regions, counties that experienced an influx of new people over a five-year period tended to have less hate.
So that kind of goes to show that, you know, when people perhaps have a chance to interact with people who are different with them, that might contribute to more tolerance.
The study was recently published in the Annals of the American Association of Geographers. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, a funeral home in Montrose has been shut down by the state. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the state issued an emergency action and said that Sunset Mesa Funeral Directors is guilty of multiple deliberate and willful violations of the Mortuary Science Code. The order suspending the establishment's license to operate a funeral home and crematory in Colorado was issued on Monday evening. Sunset Mesa Funeral Home also operated as a body parts broker and has been shut down by the state for allegedly violating several state laws. The list of violations includes cremating and embalming bodies without permission, giving families the wrong cremains, and substituting concrete for cremains, and not maintaining adequate records. The state's Deputy Director of Legal Affairs for the Division of Professions and Occupations detailed specific findings in six separate complaints that were filed over a four-year period. The owner of the funeral home, Megan Hess, was featured in a news series by Reuters that focused on the body parts trade. Former employees who said they were interviewed by the FBI accused Hess of harvesting body parts and gold teeth and profiting richly from the sales of those body parts. Hess issued a news release calling the accusations fake news. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.